We've had a message on Thanksgiving, on giving thanks, and I'm going to continue the theme. One of the identifiers when we were at the feast in St. George, one of the identifiers was picked up by the stage crew that were working with us, was that we had love one for another. We had care one for another. We shared with one another, regardless of background and interests. You know, we offer a wide variety of social interaction, and yet we still had that love one for another. That's an identifier. Another identifier at the feast is that we are at peace. We are peacemakers. You can go to Matthew 5, you can go to the list of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peace, of course, is an identifier of the coming kingdom of God. It's called the kingdom of peace. Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. God is called the God of Peace. Those are identifiers. Well, there's another identifier that does reference today's world. Join me in 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. This is an identification that we don't really want in our life. And yet it identifies the time in which we live. I know we've been talking about the time of Jacob's trouble, and this world is certainly getting shaken up quite a bit. But in 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1, we see the identifier of the end time. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, but know this, that in the last days, the time of the end, last days, that's how people identify it, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. I mean, we could do a whole Bible study on how there is self-love, how my way, my ideas, my opinions outweigh anything society has. Lovers of money. Never in the history of our nation has the love of money been more observable. It wasn't, it was 40 years after the Declaration of Independence that, brain freeze, one of the signers of the Declaration said, I wish I never signed that document because America had become bedollared. Everything is about the dollar. So 40 years into the experiment, as Churchill calls the American existence, they were lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. There is an unthankfulness in society. Unholy, I call it the un-series here. You got unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. And that's society. There is a sense that I don't have to show gratitude. I don't have to feel gratitude. I don't need to be thankful. Give me what I'm owed. Give me what I'm not owed. Just give me, because it's all about the self. Slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And, of course, that does represent our society. Having a form of godliness. There's a form of righteousness. I am right. I do this with willingly. I follow this way of life, having a form of godliness, but by the way they live and what they say, they deny its power. From such people turn away. There's the identifier of the church. They love one another. We have love one for another. There's an identifier of the coming kingdom, the kingdom of peace. There's an identifier of the end time. And I just want to focus on that one, of being unthankful. Being unthankful. Having no gratitude. Being unthankful is a universally growing telltale trait of people who have rejected and walked away from God. And it makes being thankful one of the many identifying marks that a Christian carries. A Christian is one who is thankful. People today are unthankful, but for us, we are told to be thankful. In the Bible, the word thanksgiving has been translated 40 times. 31 times in the Old Testament, 9 times in the New Testament. 14 times it exists in the Psalms, where the psalmist, David, and the psalmist who are giving wonderful words of wisdom, that we are to be thankful to God. That's a major theme. The word gratitude is 157 times throughout the Bible. Giving thanks, the phrase giving thanks, there's 72 times that phrase is used. That is a major theme. Being thankful, being grateful, may be considered one of the major themes, especially in the Psalms, of God's Word. Major theme of a Christian. Now, sometimes we think that giving praise and being thankful are interchangeable, and that can be very true. I want to take a look at the centerpiece of today's message. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. Just a few pages back in my book. 1 Thessalonians 5. There's a series of declaratives that were given to the Thessalonians. We're going to start in verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you." Actually, we're going to cover that in a couple of weeks as part of the road to salvation. "To esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. Be at peace among yourselves." Now, verse 14, "We exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." That's a hard one. But be patient with all. "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone." No tit for tat. No give and take. You give me, I'm going to give you back just the same, if not a little more. "See, no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all." Doesn't that touch on the word agape, agape love, which is that sacrificial, outgoing love, care and concern for another individual, regardless of themselves, you love them with that agape love. Verse 16, "Rejoice always." Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Always have an attitude of prayer going on in your mind. Always know that God is a fraction of a second away in your mind. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." It's interesting to note in this list of admonitions, the phrase, "this is the will of God in Christ for you," because he continues to go on with other exhortations. "Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecy. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain even from the form, the image, how it looks to other people. Abstain from every form of evil." But in that phrase, "in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This is the will of God. In everything give thanks. There's an emphasis there. Now, the word "everything," I'm not going to hit the Greek, but it means all, any, every, whole, the entire. It means whatsoever. Literally, nothing left out, the good, the bad, the ugly. In everything in our life, we're to be giving thanks. And we'll touch on that a little later, because it's going to be hard sometimes. How can we be thankful for difficult times? How can we be thankful for trials and difficulties? And when it says here, this is the will of God in the Greek is the determination. That is, it's the choice, it's the purpose, the decree. It is God's will, his desire, that we are a thankful people. Now, over the years, many people have wondered what the will of God is for them. Send me on a mission. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to go into trials and difficulties. Send me. The will of God is that his will is that we're in his kingdom. The will of God is that we're a thankful people. The will of God is that we use his spirit so that we are converted and enter his kingdom. God wants us to have the mind of Christ active in us. And he wants us to be thankful for all things. Now, being thankful is a remarkable command, and made more so because it's God's will. It's going to be very difficult. Being thankful for all things, is that even possible? 2 weeks ago, I was able to attend a lecture in Vacaville by it was in the center of Vacaville, and Joseph Abraham was making a presentation. Joseph Abraham is probably 90 pounds, little fellow. He was 95 years old, and he has tattoo marks on his arm. But actually, they weren't tattoos marks. They were numbers. Joseph Abraham survived 12 different extermination camps in Germany. He went to the big ones. He went to the small ones. And he gave his story about how he survived. Thankfully for him, he was 17 when he was taken into the camp system. And he was out at 21, and he has survived. I've told the story before of the Dutch-born sisters, Corrie and Betsy ten Boom. You can go online and catch a lecture by Corrie. They were caught up in Hitler's war and taken to concentration camps. I asked Mr. Abraham how he survived. Well, he told us how he survived. He said, "I wasn't going to let them win." But that could be teenage energy and drive and just being a teenager. He wasn't going to let the Germans win. But the Dutch sisters, taken into the concentration camp, their story was a little different, and they had a little different ending for them. They were packed into a huge barrack room. It was built for 400, and they threw 1,400 prisoners into it. The girls were together. A lot of times they separate families, but they were able to stay together, and they tried to remain positive and optimistic. They knew that was the heart of surviving, being positive and optimistic. They were able to have a Bible with them, and they read this scripture, "Be thankful for everything." They had no freedom. They had no choice of what they ate. They had no choice about clothing. They had no choice about bathing. They had no choice about when to get up or go to bed or where to sleep. And they came on the scripture, and it says to be thankful for all things. And they tried to figure out how can we be thankful for all things? We sleep on straw-filled cotton, straw-filled beds that are filled with fleas. We are bitten every night. How can we be thankful for that? How can we be thankful even for fleas? Now, Corrie and Betsy talked about it. And they realized by observation, their barracks had the least amount of abuse by the guards because of the fleas. The guards visited other barracks and did their abuse elsewhere. The barracks had the fewest experience of abuse and torture because the guards simply hated to go in there because of the fleas. And because of those fleas, they were able to smuggle in a Bible because guards didn't want to go through there and look for contraband. What happens when we go through trials and troubles? We learn to rely on God, to trust Him. Going through trials and troubles exercises our faith. It strengthens our will against temptation and the push and pull of the God small g of this world. And as Corrie and Betsy ten Boom found out, we could even be thankful for fleas. Corrie survived, and she, for years, gave lectures on forgiveness because she went on to forgive her captors. And she said, the way to survive is forgiveness and be thankful. Obeying God has consequences, as does obeying Satan. Join me in Daniel 9, please. Daniel 9. We'll touch on the story of Daniel's willingness to obey God rather than the king. And be thankful. Daniel was a captor, and because of the favor that he found in the king's eyes, he was promoted along with his three friends. Daniel became one of three governors. His friends became satraps or administrators. But following his custom to pray to God three times a day would become a trial. Daniel 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. He had an administration, and he understood those whom he could trust and make the kingdom work. Just tell me what's the bottom line. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. That's how favored he was. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. He did everything right. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." And that's where they came up with the plot. Verse 10. The governors and the satraps got the king to sign a decree that you cannot make a petition of any being other than the king for 30 days. And once it was signed in the land for the law of the Medes and Persians, it does not alter. Which is why they always took their time in setting a law. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he understood his habit of praying before God, imploring God for his mercy, his love, thanking God for his life. And he knew the consequence. He knew the law. If I approach my God, I am in violation of the king's law. And he knew the consequence. Now, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his window open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. It was his custom three times a day to pray to God. And start out by giving thanks, to give thanks and praise. Daniel still gave thanks, even though he was facing a trial and difficulty. In the end of it, let's drop down there, and king wasn't happy with himself for the law because he valued Daniel, but he could not go against the law that he signed. Threw him into the lion's den. And let's drop to the bottom here. Verse 16, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Yeah, I certainly hope so. King hated what he did, but he could not violate his own law. Then a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the signets of his lords, and that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Verse 18, now the king went to his palace and spent the nights fasting with no musicians, and his sleep was gone from him. The king went, verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Think Daniel had something to be thankful for. Daniel said, "O king, live forever." Verse 22, "My God, sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. I'm innocent before God. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. And God stepped in, intervened. And the king was exceedingly glad. But as Daniel's habit was, his custom was, he would go before God three times a day with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Now, the experience of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have also taken place. They were thrown into the fiery pit for obeying God rather than man. We all have experiences we've gone through, and you wonder, well, how can I be thankful for that? How can I possibly be thankful for that? Acts 27, we'll jump in with Paul. Little description of what Paul was going through. Acts 27, verse 20. Now, they were out at sea, and let's say they're on the third day. They threw out the ship's tackle overboard. They're on with their own hands. The ship is being tossed up and down, thrown all around. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss." Paul said, "I told you so. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship." The only thing that we're going to lose here is the ship. Everybody's going to be fine. "For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. Indeed, God has granted you all these who sail with you.'" Everyone who is with me now sailing will be fine. I still have an assignment to do. I've got to go chat with Caesar. "Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me." And they went through the night, and let's see, I want to jump here. Take nourishment, eat. When it was day, they ended up in Malta, and the only thing that they lost was their ship. Everyone was safe. I wanted to go to 46. There is no 46, Fred. That happens when you get old. You hit a typo here. That's okay. Anyway, they hit shore. The soldiers were going to kill the prisoners because they didn't want any to get away. And Paul said, "That's okay. We will be on land. We're not going to escape." Everybody got to the land safely. Caught in a storm, life and death trial, Paul believed in God, thanked God, and blessed the food. Oh, that's what I wanted to show. Yeah, verse 35. And when he had... verse 34, "Then I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had spoken it, he began to eat. In the middle of the storm, with everything raging around him, he stopped and said, "Let's have a bite to eat and give thanks to God." That's an important part. Paul, during the trial, gave thanks. King David had that same theme in mind. And it's interesting to note that God commands us to be thankful over and over and over. Let's hit a few psalms. I mentioned that Psalms was heavy in thankfulness. I want to just bounce on a few psalms quickly. Don't want to take up too much time. Join me in Psalm 100. Psalm 100. We'll just listen to the psalmist talk to us about being thankful. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. And we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. We come before God, we enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into the courtyard, as it were, with praise and being thankful to him. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. You know, there are so many stories in this room alone. We would be here all night listing the stories that each of us has of God's intervention and of God's mercy and of God's love. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. And seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, Am I in the right spot? I do that sometimes. I don't know why I was there. But we are to remember his marvelous works, and being thankful brings that to mind. We'll come back to that. Psalm 106, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 107, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. What a way to start. Psalm 136. Let's have all of Psalm 136. Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever. And that is the theme there. Verse 4. To him alone does great wonders, his mercy endures forever. To him who's by wisdom made the heavens, and we got this whole list of things, which is added a piece to, for his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever. The Psalms is filled with thanksgiving. But let's go to Ephesians right now. Ephesians 5. I'm going to throw a handful of scriptures at you. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And we know that. 1 John says that God is love. So if we're to imitate God, we have to show love in all things. We have to have that agape love. Be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. There's a list of things here that we don't want in our lives. But verse 4 ends with, but rather giving of thanks. Not to have the list of carnal things, the physical things here, but give thanks. Verse 19. speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to God in Christ for all things. Wow. A few pages over to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Qualified us to be part on the road to salvation. 2, verse 6. Colossians 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. That is part of our nature now, to be thankful. 4, verse 2. Well, verse 1. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. He's saying, if you're a boss, if you're a master, be just with those who are serving you. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is becoming a way of life. And then Philippians 4. Philippians 4, back up just a bit. Philippians 4, verse 6. And this can be hard to do. Be anxious for nothing. I know that had to be hard for Joseph Abraham. It had to be hard for Corey and Betsy Ten Boom. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the consequence for that, the product of that, the outcome of that is, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. We're to pray to God, and whatever we find ourselves in, we pray with thanksgiving, letting God know how grateful and thankful we are for what he has delivered to us, and then we'll have peace of God, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 simply says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything to give thanks. We need to be thankful. We need to have an attitude of appreciation and gratitude. I was reading this morning, it was the attitude of gratitude. You know, the little words that flow together. Attitude of gratitude. But an attitude of appreciation and gratitude of praising God and what is his will for us. Question comes up on the surface. We could ask, God is all powerful. God is all knowing. Why does God need our thanksgiving? Why does God need our praise, our gratitude? Psalm 92, we're going to answer this very quickly. Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Very simple beginning of the psalm here, Psalm 92, verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. It is good to praise and thank God. Well, guess what? Science has figured that out too. In 2009, a special study by the Florida State University and Yale University, they conducted a combined research under the title Benefits of Expressed Gratitude. Expressing gratitude to a partner changes one's view of the relationship. This is in 2009. The study showed through the scientific method that individuals who expressed appreciation, gratitude, and thanksgiving had a positive impact on those that they expressed their feelings to, and they themselves had stronger relationships, were stronger academically, and expressed that they lived happier lives. God simply said, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. The study says, yeah, we agree. The world thrives on the negative. It hones in on what's down, wrong, missing, angry, or hostile, focusing so much on the negative that there's no room for thanksgiving. Here's a study that indicates that expressing gratitude, being and expressing thanks, has the positive effect on any relationship. Being thankful is God's will. Being thankful is for our benefit. God doesn't need our thanks, but it is will that we are thankful for our sake. God knows what he's doing. When we pray, how much time is spent thanking God, expressing appreciation as to our request of want and need? Just occurred to me, just give me a second here. Do I want to do that? I don't know. No. That's a different tangent. Never mind. Being thankful is for our benefit. We don't take God's mercy for granted. We don't take his calling for granted. We don't take his spirit for granted. We don't take his interventions for granted. We don't take the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for granted. And when we are unthankful, that tends to happen. We tend to be ungrateful. When we pray, how much time do we spend thanking God versus making our requests? Israel has had that problem, and how quickly they forgot their God. Deuteronomy 8. What's taking place here is after 39 years of wandering around, 39 years of seeing God's intervention, 39 years of a daily miracle. Deuteronomy 8, verse 7. Remember the Lord your God. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat and bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. This is going to be great for you. It's just going to be wonderful. Now, verse 10. I'm going to give you all these wonderful resources. Verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. You're going to thank God for what you have been given. Beware, verse 11. Once you're full, I want you to thank me. I want you to be thankful. Beware, verse 11. That you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes when I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwelt in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold are multiplied so what you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. We're to be thankful as a reminder of where we were in God's intervention, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of flinty rock. Did all this. I want you to be thankful, lest you forget me, lest you forget all my benefits. Unless you forget my intervention. God ties in an attitude of thankfulness with not being forgetful. And unfortunately for ancient Israel, they promptly forgot God. And that's sad, and that's sadly interesting, because the very time God was giving this instructions, what had happened for 7 days a week, year after year, month after month, Israel experienced a miracle. They had the pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day, manna every day, twice on Friday, and none on Sabbath. And they had to be reminded of God's great mercy. And one way of doing it is being thankful. Being thankful. As part of the message of the book of Deuteronomy, you've forgotten God. It's a big part not to forget God. And a big part of not forgetting God is being thankful and having an attitude of thanksgiving. So important is being thankful. Join me in First Chronicles. This is going to be a little side trip here. First Chronicles 16. First Chronicles 16. That there was an assignment, a responsibility for thanksgiving. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 4. We're talking about the ark and the tabernacle. In verse 4, and he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Their assignment was to commemorate, to thank, and to praise God. That was an office. Verse 41. And with them, Heman and Jephthah and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endures forever. I'm very grateful that the United States felt it important enough to have a day of thanksgiving. And when that day was given, it was to go to God. It was a day to thank God. It wasn't a day just for turkey. It wasn't a day just for football. But it was a day set aside to thank God, specifically for the creation of this new country we call the United States. They had the responsibility for expressing thankfulness, and the attitude of the world in the last days will be being unthankful. Romans 1. I'm going to have to skip over some things because they've already been covered. Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. This is where we are today. God is an asterisk in a paragraph. We're blind to the mind of God, blind to the plan of God, and blind to even his existence. Now, touched on in the sermonette was the example of the lepers in Luke 17. And it was interesting that the Samaritan, the one without much, gave thanks for God's mercy. We could talk about Job. The beginning of the book of Job, everything was taken away from him. He had an incredible, massive trial allowed by God. Of course, we're talking about Job and his wife, both. Huge trial, everything taken away, including his health. And he had a correct reaction in the beginning. The Lord gave and the Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Everything I have came from God. When it comes to having something to be thankful for, we're thankful for what we have and we're thankful for what we don't have. We're thankful to God for our existence. We're thankful for just being. Proverbs 30. I just have a handful more scriptures. I have a little more scriptures than normal. That's okay. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted for me, lest I become full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? I got it made. It's all great here. Or I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. I do and say things that are neither appropriate nor reflective of the mind of God. I want to touch on two more psalms, because we're going to work our way to a conclusion here. Psalm 68. I know that when a trial and difficulty can go for any length of time, we can think, woe is me. And of course, when we go through the book of Job, we know that Job endured over and over the trial, that he wasn't learning the lesson. But in Psalm 68, verse 19, there's a wonderful phrase, and I'm going to attach it to a psalm in 103 in a second. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. The God of salvation, Salah, so be it. He daily loads us with benefits. And he is the God of our salvation. What benefits? Psalm 103. Just jump over to Psalm 103, please. Because it says the same thing. Psalm 103, beginning in 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Wait a minute, here it is. What is our daily benefits that we're supposed to have? Well, there it is. Forgives all our iniquities, heals our diseases, redeems us from destruction. When we're going through a trial and difficulty, we recognize this isn't all there is. This is a training ground. We go through trials and difficulties so that we can be closer to God, we can trust God, we build up character, we strengthen character, we don't fall apart. Those are the benefits. Forgives our iniquities, heals our diseases, redeems us from destruction, crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, and satisfies our mouth with good things. Wow. Philippians 4:11 says that we're to do all that Paul said he was content. I'm not quoting it right. Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Yeah, he was to be content in... That's right. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. There is a sense of peace and contentment when we are satisfied or thankful for what we have. Not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. We'll add 1 Timothy 6. 1 And I'll get back on track here in a second. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Wow, we've heard that almost at every funeral. You can't take it with you. Can't take it with you. And having food and clothing with these, what we have, we'll just be content. God pours out daily benefits on us. And when we are thankful, when we are grateful for what we know about God and what we know about our life, we can appreciate those benefits. We can see those benefits. Philippians 2, there's an exhortation here as we head toward a close. Philippians 2, verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. You know, when you're a thankful person, it's hard to complain or get into disputes. That you may, verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. This world, this generation that we are surrounded by, which we are impacted by, we do feel the unthankful, unforgiving, unholy nature of the world around us. That we are children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. I will rejoice when I see you, because my labor, my efforts weren't set aside. We're to do all things without grumbling or disputing. And Paul explains that this response is important, that we prove ourselves blameless and innocent, to be children of God above reproach in a world that is very reproachable. Non-grumbling is not an option, and it's not a suggestion. Paul is commanding that we are non-grumblers. To the believer's continual response, remember that when we murmur about our circumstance, in the final analysis, we are murmuring against the one who allowed the circumstance in our life, because he could be growing, helping us to grow, allowing something in our lives that will help us and strengthen us and lift us up. I like that phrase when Israel was told, when I say you stop and you stop, and when I say you go, this and I think it's Deuteronomy 11. Then you stop and go when I say go. It's up to me, not you. The question comes then, is God on his throne? And we have to make the choice. Of course, God's on his throne. And then if he is, then we're to give thanks in everything. Thanksgiving can be considered an excellent antidote for anxiety or worry. As we understand, you know, we're there in Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing, but by everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make our request be known to God. When we go to God with our request and we are thankful for all things, it relieves us of anxiety. It's kind of an anecdote, antidote, anecdote, that's antidote. 1 Thessalonians 4:18 says, be thankful for all things, it is the will of God. No exceptions, no waivers, nothing left out. Therefore, it must become a way of life. A way of life. We can be thankful in the middle of a trial. We can be thankful in the middle of troubles because we know the end of the story. I have a friend right now whose wife is terribly sick, and the agony he is going through for her. But we know the end of the story. She'll be resurrected. She'll be healed. And it'll be a blip. not even a blip in the history of eternity. Going through trial and trouble, we know the end of the story. We know that trials and troubles are allowed for our benefit. Let me see if I want to go here. 3, 12. Yeah, I was getting ready to close, but let's go to Colossians 3 first. Colossians 3:12. Because this being thankful has to be a way of life. Has to be a way of life. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Being thankful must become a way of life. Must become a way of life. Let's go to Hebrews 13 for closure. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. The sacrifice of our lips, the sacrifice of the words in our heads, the sacrifice that we share with one another, being thankful for one another, sharing thanksgiving with one another, the words that we can share, we give to one another. That has become a way of life. You know, we have been given a mandate by God, a challenging one, a difficult one to be sure, and that is to be thankful for all things. And yet it's God's will in our life to be thankful for all things, the difficulties, even for fleas. There is a direct benefit coming to us by being thankful. It's an important identifiable attribute of a Christian that we exercise daily. We're thankful for the plan of God. We're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for God's Spirit that gives us strength and opens our mind to spiritual things. We're thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his shed blood that forgives our sins. We're thankful for his broken body, that by his stripes we are healed. We are thankful for his protection. We are thankful for his mercy. We are thankful for his faithfulness. We are thankful for truth. We are thankful for healing. A while back, many years ago, we had a Bible study on promises because God cannot lie. And we're thankful for the thousands of promises he made and wrote down in the book for us to read. We must make thanksgiving, being thankful, a continual, everyday event of our lives. Hope that was helpful.